If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light of the One Life. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is How Life is Experienced Through the Seven Chakras. How Life is Experienced Through the Seven Chakras, when they're blocked and when they're open. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow that higher anointing of your divine self to enter through the top of your head, flow down through your endocrine system, your nervous system, all of the nadis, the nerve tendrils from the etheric body into the physical, through which your soul essence actually comes into every strand of your DNA, permeating each cell with conscience, sentiency, with divinity, with awareness, with life, with creative intelligence, and unlimited potentiality. That is who and what you are. And that energy finds its expression through centers of consciousness, which we call chakras. And chakra is simply a Sanskrit word that means wheel. So the chakras are dimensional apertures, if you will, into specific realms of consciousness. They are stargates, if you will, into specific worlds and realms conditioned by your consciousness. They constitute your experience of life, or the lack thereof, in the case of where they're blocked and clogged. So again, let's take a deep breath and just ask that whatever needs to be cleared tonight or raised in frequency, uncluttered, made more definitive of your divine pure essence, that could be done for you tonight according to your highest rate and highest good. So that you come into agreement with yourself to give yourself the best advantage to move into that which would be your greater place of clarity and divine expression. We just ask that any karma, any negativity, anything that could be lifted at this time through sheer grace and the fact that you remain as God created you and the fact that this is but a dream hologram in which you are temporarily positioned on a field trip of exploration. Given that that is so, you can ask and have things lifted from you that you don't have to carry. Yes, we have to be responsible for the energies that we've released and sent forth into the cosmos. But when you really come into a place of God realization and knowing who you are, all of that can be erased in a nanosecond so that you don't have to go through it. Because time itself and the linear progression and the whole evolutionary scenario is inherently a dream field. What is there to evolve in the all that is that you are? So again, it's a positioning of consciousness and perspective that defines how you see life. And you do indeed express exactly in accordance with what you believe and take to be true. So it's good to question those things that we have appropriated as our reality. Because often when you look, it's not really your reality experientially so much it's something you've been taught or come to believe through familiar repetition or have been indoctrinated through some guru, some belief system, something, somewhere, sometime. But you haven't come upon it through your own direct observation. It's so important to know yourself, because only in knowing yourself, with a capital S, and also that self, which is the ego or the presentation into illusion, when you know the full dynamics of who you are in your present expression as who you think you are, and that which could be beyond that, even beyond your possibility of recognition at this point, it is then when you give yourself permission to let go of things that no longer work, that enable you to take a bright new approach. A bright new approach. And that's what we like to look at in each of these seminars, is another way of looking at that chrysalis, that diamond chrysalis of reality, that shows forth a different facet through each consciousness. And all together spells the all that is the true self of us all, one spirit appearing in the many. So, having given yourself permission to look, let's explore this together, shall we? And keep in mind that everything in your life that positions a problem or a challenge for you is connected with a block in a chakra. And when that is unblocked or cleared, then suddenly you don't have that problem anymore. So it's important to understand where you have the spanner in the works, so to speak, the monkey wrench in the works, and where you can begin to work in cooperation with yourself. Because you're the one that is setting the momentums in play with every thought, word, and deed, with every expression. There's either the clogging and the cluttering, or the releasing and the clearing. And you're in direct charge of all of that. So the chakra system is located in what is called your energy body, which in Sanskrit is called the prana maya kosha. And that is the energy that is vivified by your breath. That is the source of energy that comes into your auric field and is then distributed through the chakra system. And the chakras are connected to your endocrine glands, and your endocrine glands govern the functioning and the health or illness of the various organs in your body. So all illness, whether it's mental, psychological, emotional, psychic, or physical, all has its root cause in the functioning of the chakras, whether they are functioning and in a state of coordination with the soul impulse, or let's say the life impulse. The life impulse is anchored in the heart and flows through your bloodstream. And the consciousness principle is located in the triad of the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus in the skull. That would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to use religious terminology, or Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. But the Trinity is actually those three glands which source consciousness into the physical body. So the chakras distribute that energy that comes in. It flows down through your nervous system. There's 72 channels or nadis in the etheric body, and 72,000 nadis or nerve channels in the physical body, which together make 144,000. And that's your 144,000 that anchors the Christ consciousness, or the Buddha consciousness, or the Bodhisattva, or the Maitreya, whatever you want to call that higher consciousness, into the physical vehicle, so that you become the Christed one, the anointed one. So the chakras are energetic portals into specific dimensions and realms. And the vital activity or lack of vitality in a chakra is what governs your state of health and consciousness. So each chakra presents an experiential realm and a way of viewing life. When you look out of each chakra, if you were to just isolate, which we don't because we're a combination of energy, but if we were to isolate our consciousness into one specific chakra, it would open a whole world to you. And, you know, as real and as vital as this seeming real world that we are sitting in right now, listening to this transmission on BBS Radio. So there's a whole science of yoga that studies the chakras. It's called Laya Yoga. And we're not going to get into that because in the path that I practice and advocate myself, we don't bother with going up through the kundalini and the chakras from the root to the crown. That's kind of like the slow boat to China. What we do is work to move the awareness into the soul and then flood the lower levels of the consciousness and the chakra systems with that higher positive energy of the soul, which is called the anointing, or working through the principle of grace rather than the evolutionary cycle, which is an obsolete approach at this time. So we work from topside down. That being said, we still have to deal with the chakras because that's what's going on in the physical and etheric bodies. And that's what governs your expression and your consciousness and how you feel about life and the energy that you're able to access and source. So you can't disregard that as long as you think you're a human being in a human body and that you even have chakras. So the teaching and the understanding shifts with our, let's say, expansion of awareness and our integrated and stabilized states of higher awareness. But today we're dealing with something that has a very physical, experiential, and tangible manifestation in our lives that I think we would benefit by understanding. So chakras source and flow energy throughout your endocrine system, which is their visible manifestation in your body. Your endocrine system is the visible manifestation of your chakras in your physical body. And each gland in your endocrine system governs a particular organ in your body. And how well that particular gland and its associated organ functions depends upon whether its governing chakra is blocked or open and flowing. So the chakras have everything to do with your overall state of health as well as your state of consciousness and how you experience life. Your chakras are not set in a static position, but rather respond to your fluctuations of thought and emotion. And they respond by opening or closing, corresponding to how you're thinking and feeling. So like your aura, like all things spiritual, there's a constant vitality and malleability that coincides with your consciousness and your focus. So like the colors in one's aura, while there is a certain, let's say, default setting, according to your predominant habits of thought and emotional expression, other colors can flash through in response to new reactions. And likewise, your chakras in the degree in which they appear have a particular rotational pattern that corresponds to your karma in any given life, which would indicate your level of spiritual integration. So karma, again, is a Sanskrit word that means action. It is a law that automatically governs all activity in these realms of polarity and duality. Every thought, word, and action of any kind whatsoever produces a like return in equal measure. Whatever you release into the quantum field returns to you in the same way, the same kind of energy. That is why we are each held responsible for our creations. Because every thought, word, and action is creative, there really are no idle thoughts. There's no such thing as an uncreative passing mood or an insignificant action. Everything that we say, think, and act upon, even breathing, creates form at some level, and all of these together create karmic repercussions. Now, only when one is established in Christ consciousness, which is also called soul transcendence, spiritual awareness, and self-realization, only then is it possible to live above the karmic law. And that would be living in a state of grace. And that's what we focus our attention on. That's what we want to get to, where we realize that we're not the doer, that something that is greater lives in us and through us and is us. And we are truly God in our individual expression. And actually, truly, there is only one spirit living through each one of us, the Atma or the Holy Spirit. And then you no longer claim doership, but have realized that the Divine Spirit alone does all things through its vehicles of consciousness. All of these realms and dimensions and bodies and expressions and chakras and so forth, they're all for the purpose of allowing God to be God in this dimension and have full creative manifestation through its instruments, which would be your body, mind, spirit. So in this seminar, we'd like to show you the characteristics of each of the seven chakras when they are blocked by ego and when they are spiritually clear and the divine self is operating freely through them. Now bear in mind that the soul exists as an omnipresent state of being. It is not confined in any one chakra or dimension or state of consciousness. It is free. So our personality, however, is a composite of conditioned patterns of energy. It is these ingrained habit patterns and conditioning and that constitute our overall approach to life. And that is defined as our karmic condition. We come in predisposed to certain tendencies that we will opt to work on in any given lifetime. So that karmic condition defines our strengths, our weaknesses, our levels of proficiency, and our challenges in each incarnation. And it is this that we are to address and work with in order to come into a more divine attunement and integration for the purpose of self-mastery. We're here as masters in training. And even if we've achieved mastery, say, for example, in another realm or planet, there's always another level. So you keep moving to that which is next. It's never static. And it's pretty safe to say that no one has 100% clear, perfect, unblocked chakras or 100% perfect health. I hope that's an encouraging statement. Why is that? That's because the human bodily form is a hybrid admixture of fallen or imperfect thought forms and divine perfect thought forms. So like all things in these dimensions beneath the soul realm, It is a manifestation of duality, a combo of imperfection and perfection. So it seems as if we are evolving when viewed from a third-dimensional perspective, bottom side up. But when viewed from the highest spiritual perception, we are simply returning our awareness to what we are and remain forever, which should be perfect and divine. However, I know that's not our experiential reality. And as long as we identify with being a human being in a physical body, that's where we have to take our first step in going into a deeper level of awareness. You always have to stay with what is. Not stay with it, but start from that position of where you are right here and now and move it forward. So before we examine each chakra, let's practice your own seership. If you'd like to, if you choose to, take a point of observation away from your body in your mind's eye to where you can imagine that you were seeing your body with its seven chakras. If you're not real good at visualizing, you could just pretend like you know, because the pretend will be probably very accurate. Now move right into that place of knowing and look at your chakras overall. The ones that are blocked will appear less vibrant in color, and the movement will be sluggish. The ones that are more open will have more color definition and flow. Some very undeveloped or very blocked chakras will hardly show up as defined wheels with petals. They might just look like a light orb. Now just look and make a mental note of what you're being shown. Good. You saw what you saw, what you needed to see right now. So just trust that. You can return at your leisure at any time for a more detailed examination. But just know that blocks in your chakras are what are causing your glands and organs to not be functioning at their optimal best, or for your vibrant health. That's something our medical profession very seldom pays any attention to, but the shamans always dealt with that. And certain other health practitioners work with clearing the chakras. In our group, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, we have aura balances, polarity balances, interphasing. We have all kinds of tools to clear the chakras. The quantum healing machines now also do that. But basically, they're clogged because you have misused the energies of your thoughts and your feelings and the way that you have been expressing yourself. So to have them permanently cleared, you need to integrate your soul with your personality and marry them as one. That's the answer. Is that spiritual integration. But meanwhile, you can give yourself a clear approach by working to keep yourself clear. It's very easy to ask for the light before you act, to ask for God's direction before you launch into anything. That's where your prayers and your attunement come in. At some point, they're unnecessary. But as long as you're identified with the body and the human state, you need to pray. You need to ask. You need to call yourself forward into the states that you would receive of. And you need to do considerable work to keep yourself clear and to learn to observe and discern what you're to be involved with and what you're to allow to pass on. So in your life, this blocking or opening of the chakras accounts for problems in relationships, in your sexual expression, in your finances, in your ability to relate, to love, to be successful in your career, to accept and flow with life in general. Everything depends on the flow of energy through your consciousness and your body. The chakras are also strongly affected by your level of initiation, or if you've recently undergone a major expansion of awareness, which is another way to describe initiation. That causes a reorientation of how energy is sourced and flows through your whole system. That can affect your health too. It takes a while to adjust to new energy. It takes a while to integrate and absorb and digest higher levels of awareness. And all of that has its repercussions in the physical health and your overall energy. So the chakras of empaths, sensitives, healers, world servers, disciples, and initiates also is continually responding to the overall collective of humanity, of the planet, and even the cosmos itself. And some of us often feel drained and depleted in certain chakras from overuse. Yeah, from overuse. And we're continually adjusting to new and unaccustomed energies as we go through this dimensional shift. So there are many causes for changes and fluctuations in the state of our energy and how our chakras are functioning or not. Now, the average human being is totally identified with the body and the ego mind as being who they are, and thus they operate predominantly out of the first three chakras, which represent security, sensation, and power. Disciples and initiates are learning how to spiritually direct the energies of the first three chakras and are activating the next triangle of spirit, soul, and mind, or Atma, Buddhi, and Manas. That would be the heart, the brow, and the throat chakras. Initiates are learning to correctly flow the divine energy through those six lower chakras and are adding the seventh, eighth, and ninth chakras, which deal entirely with transpersonal energies of the atmic or monadic levels. So that's important to understand, because those of you who are drawn to listen to these seminars will fall into the category of disciples and initiates. No one else would really be interested in hearing what I have to say. It would be beyond their ability to comprehend. So these three respective triadal coordinates of energy and integration enable the initiate and the master to operate from nine-dimensional arenas, and hence conscious multidimensionality. And that's where we're all headed, ultimately. So now let's take a look at each chakra specifically, starting with the root chakra, the base of the spine. A blocked root chakra causes one to feel ungrounded and lacking in stability. Physically, it can cause you to feel ungrounded, spaced out, dizzy, and have poor circulation, and difficulty focusing mentally. It gives rise also to financial blocks, all forms of fear, paranoia, and all kinds of insecurity and survival issues. Those would be the main challenges. So almost everyone is having that come up for them right now because it's a form of final exam for many souls. And everyone is being tested in that area. Where do you find your support? In the world? Or in who you are as a divine being? So when opened, the first chakra gives you a sense of feeling grounded, at home, planted, secure. It draws forth resources and abundance. When you support yourself, you feel supported by the universe. You're giving the communique of I am support worthy. And so you are. And so it feels very good to be grounded. It feels really wonderful because then your soul can kiss the earth with each step. And you feel like you're at home everywhere. And everything opens to you and supports you. A blocked first chakra, again, is the root cause of feelings of lacking in support, lacking the wherewithal to support your viability in the world. So just be aware of that and do what you need to do. There's lots of resources out there to clear those issues and to center your life in God, because only that is going to be fully 100% supported. Now, the second chakra of sensation gives rise to all the problems related to relationships, sexual expression, intimacy, self-image, self-worth, sexual addictions, obsessions, or a general withdrawal from the connecting socially with others and with life in general. It's a withdrawal energy. And withdrawing is a way of cutting off your sense of pleasure in life. How can you feel joy if you don't jump in and participate? So an open second chakra, you're able to openly participate in your life, to openly express connectiveness, intimacy, relationships. You're able to give and receive sexual pleasure and experience the releasing of passion, which is a great enjoyment. Sexual expression is how the soul makes love in the physical body. And it's certainly nothing to be, let's say, discarded, relegated to not important. You know, that must have come out of the monasteries and the convents of the Middle Ages. But you don't experience that with souls that are really connected. They're alive in every chakra and every level. Alive. I know there's a big brouhaha about the fact they're discovering that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married. Yes, they were married. As if that was something that Jesus wouldn't do. Well, I would ask, why wouldn't Jesus do that? He was a normal person. Divine and normal. Just like you and me, we're divine. And we're seeking to be more normal with that divinity. And divinity is not to negate and cut off pleasure. In fact, the name for Krishna is Prasanna, which means the giver of pleasure. So when you bring God into that relationship and into that sexual expression and into that moment, you have made of it a holy sanctuary and a holy rite and something truly divine, because only in the sexual expression can we join fully in the creative process of generating new life. So healthy sexuality within the proper governance and proper control of the soul, the higher nature, is the ideal. And it's important to have a healthy self-image and sense of self-worth and self-esteem and self-respect. Without that, you can hardly give respect and worth and a sense of worthwhileness to another person. You always have to start with yourself. So you honor and respect your partner in life and your relationships when that second chakra is open and clear. A blocked second chakra also, by the way, for you women, leads to many menstrual discomforts and also to difficulty in childbearing. So it's important to keep those first two chakras open and flowing for both men and women. Now, your third chakra is your power center, the solar plexus. It governs ambition, power, and drive for success in any field. And it's fueled by the energy coming into this chakra. Now, blocks, when they're present, present as anger, frustration, combativeness, competitive spirits, possessiveness, pride, arrogance, conflict, selfishness, greed, control, domination, manipulation. It's that driven, egocentric individual that often is displaying a blocked third chakra. You know, it's where they want something so much, but they're blocked themselves from the expression of it. You know, when did anger or frustration or impatience or pride or arrogance do anything? You know, it just self-sabotages. So in our an open third chakra expresses as cooperation, a team spirit rather than competition. And an open third chakra gives rise to healthy emotional expression, optimism, energy, enthusiasm, a sense of well-being, core stamina, courage, and I might add good digestion. If you have digestive troubles, your third chakra is probably cluttered and blocked. And when you get that open, you resolve those ambitions that are driving you and begin to put them under the subjugation of God or your soul, however you want to look at that. You give your life to God and your success to God and your outcomes to God. You notice your digestion improves. So that battle that many people are going through internally is an issue with expression of power and ambition coming out of the third chakra. And in most people, there's blocks there because of all the emotional trauma and issues, which is always from the past. Now, trauma's not ever present. It's the past. You repassed, however you revisit it, you reactivate it, reanimate it. Well, that's a big issue for a lot of people today. The fourth chakra is the heart chakra. Locked or closed down, you have that hard-heartedness, you have intolerance, unkindness, a lacking in compassion and empathy, a harboring of grievances and offenses, unforgiveness, judgmental, critical, evil intentions, wickedness. The word wicked, by the way, means to be crooked. So it's that tendency of crookedness that goes wayward against the divine nature. You'll find jealousy and envy and covetedness. To covet is when you want something that someone else has. Enough sometimes to even try to steal it from them. And you'll have all forms of deceit and conniving and dishonesty and lying and cowardice, pure, insincere, and stingy behavior. All of that comes out of the locked, closed fourth chakra, or heart chakra. And heart chakra is one in which it overflows with kindness, compassion, generosity, goodwill, good intentions, acceptance, understanding. Understanding comes out of the heart, not the mind. There'll be an expression of gratitude and appreciation, and just an overall sense of good-heartedness. An open heart is charitable and loyal, faithful, trusting. And when the spiritual heart is open, you fall in love with the beloved everywhere. That's a higher level of the heart. When the heart expands and includes all of the other chakras, and you become open-hearted space, open-hearted acceptance, open-hearted embracement, and kinship with all life. That's a higher level of spiritual integration. The fifth chakra is the throat chakra. Now, when blocked, this creates the blocked expression. And even sometimes to understand what one's true feelings really are, much less the ability to express them. So it inhibits the ability to communicate. It also indicates often the tendency to use one's expression to harm or suppress or block another's expression, whether verbal or creative. A blocked fifth chakra causes the creative flow to feel dry and stuck and dead. In fact, it leads to spitefulness and gossip and slander and speaking ill of others. And all of those are a sign of a blocked fifth chakra, as is cynicism and doubt and sarcasm. Interesting, huh? You don't think of those things as indicative of a blocked chakra. They block the chakra, and they're a sign that the chakra is blocked. Now, an open fifth chakra gives an easy flow of creative and communicative expression, where the expression is kind, pleasant, sincere, truthful, tactful, and sensitive as to when and what and where and how to speak. And that comes from a sensitivity and an attunement to the inner voice of conscience, which is literally God's presence within you. So one is able to hear and discern beyond the outer words and form of expression. It gives that exquisite spiritual attunement, which leads to clear, beautiful, direct vocal expression. The voice can also indicate blocks. Sometimes you can discern by the tonality the state of the consciousness. For example, nasal tones can indicate cynicism and doubt. You know, where the nasal passages are constricted and blocked, that's an indication sometimes of cynicism and doubt. Interesting. A raspy voice can indicate harshness or confusion and lack of clarity. A very deep voice that also has nasal tones can indicate a very mental nature that tends to be critical and unforgiving. Too high-pitched or light a voice can indicate childishness or a lack of depth and maturity. Or the voice is lacking in vitality, is listless or monotone, can indicate illness, depression, and pessimism. Strained and high-pitched and sometimes congested by mucus voice can indicate stress, tension, fear, feeling ill at ease, nervous, afraid to speak up and out loudly and clear. And this is also the case with people who speak too softly, people who are too voluble where too many words come tumbling out, too many unnecessary details, who dither around, so to speak. This indicates a mental clutter and preoccupation, and again, a lack of clarity. So a clear vocal expression is simple, direct, uncluttered, and clear, and is the result of an open throat chakra. This is a challenge, I think, for all of us now, because we're learning to speak through the intuition of the soul, which is always a little scary. In a world that doesn't value and validate this, it's very scary. So most of us have difficulty with our throats and consequently with the thyroid, which is connected to the throat chakra. So that's something to just note, be aware of. Now we'll look at the sixth or Ajna center, sometimes called the third eye. But it's not really the third eye until it's used by the soul. The third eye, such as it's used by most people, is on the service of the ego and not the soul. Why is that? Because this center requires absolute purity to be used correctly. So people who want to open their third eye are usually people who want to develop and exploit psychic power. This center, when used by the ego, is used to psychically pry and spy into the affairs of others. It seeks to control, manipulate, dominate, subjugate, and use the information gained through mental and psychic influencing and mesmerism. It wants to take control and charge of the behavior of someone or something else. And that is the way, of those who practice dark occult arts. And even in the case where one is greedy for personal name and fame and prominence. And, you know, that can be very subtle. Very subtle. Inquisitiveness. Curiosity. What is none of one's personal business is a form of subtle misuse of this chakra and indicates it is cluttered and blocked by the ego. Waging a psychic battle of wills is another way that blockage can show up. Directing a dark or malevolent thought or intention towards another is another sign. Giving the evil eye or using sorcery and domination or drugs to influence and control and manipulate the minds and choices of others is again another misuse of this blocked third eye energy. So again, that chakra really has to be purified of the lower self before it truly opens. And as I've said before, the third eye is not the Ajna chakra. It's not the sixth chakra. The third eye is actually caused by the auras of the pineal and the pituitary overlapping and causing a third circle in the middle, which is called the Vesica Pisces in sacred geometry. And that middle circle that's formed by the overlapping of the two auric fields is the third eye. So when open, it is literally the gaze of God. It is the life-giving, beneficent gaze that heals, restores, regenerates, and even can resurrect the dead. It is what is called darshan. When the divine gaze of a being in that state, that highly evolved state, looks at you, you receive the darshan, the tiwaja, or the tuaji, where the gaze of higher consciousness pours through the eye gates and bestows blessings and grace upon another. This is the eye of omniscience, of divine knowing and realization. It's the Deva Drishti, the God sight, true seeing. to seership. So purifying that chakra is worth everything. And again, the only thing that purifies and transforms is love and God's grace. God's grace and love. And when you love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, indeed, you live in the grace of God. And that eye automatically opens. So the seventh chakra is the crown chakra, the thousand-petaled lotus. All of the other chakras have petals that correspond, or corresponding petals, I should say, within the crown chakra. So when this chakra is blocked, there's an inability to realize and recognize oneness with the all that is. There's an inability to grasp the kinship and the interconnected unity of all life. There could even be a fear of union with the divine for fear of losing oneself and one's individuality. Interesting, huh? Yeah. Then the energies cannot be received into the mind. And the experience can feel like a cap of confinement, where you're like slam dunked and retained in the lower states of consciousness. Or it can lead one to assume that they already are God, with a little g, and that they've already attained the higher state. But it's one limited only to their self and not inclusive of all. That's how you can tell the difference. When a person thinks that they're there, but they're not there, they want to be the guru. They want to be the master. They want to be the authority. They want you to follow them and do it their way. But that's all coming out of the ego. Because when a person is genuinely God-realized, they will see you as God-realized. Yeah, they will see the God in you. God-realization is not for the individual, it's for the collective. Why realize God if you're just going to hunker down and make a big deal out of it for your personal, individual life? So blocks in the seventh chakra will show up like that. When someone is in that posturing of being a knower or a perfect master or an avatar or whatever, and you can tell by the very proclamation that they're not that, because no genuine God-realized perfected master will ever in 1,000,000,000 years tell you that they are that. Because again, purity and humility indicate divinity. So when truly opened, the crown chakra opens into the oneness of all things. The indwelling beloved is what one sees and not else. It's the Satchitananda, the pure being, awareness, and bliss. It's the Samadhi, which means equal-mindedness. It's liberation itself. Liberation itself. So in terms of the human personality that is seeking to become soul-infused, soul-indwelt, and then to soul-transcend and have the soul essence itself absorbed into the monad, the spirit, or the Atma, is the goal of the human stage of, quote, evolution, which itself is an illusion of returning. But again, that's the belief system that we are operating off of when we're identified with the human state. And that is the understanding that for thousands of years we have utilized in all of our approaches to God, be they the yogic approach or the religious approach, even though they don't acknowledge chakras, they still acknowledge stages of glory or stages of anointing. But, you know, aside from the language and the definitives, which change with the culture and the religious perspective, we're looking at basically the same thing, how to be yoked with the divine, how to take upon that yoke that Jesus said was light, and that burden, which he said was easy, or vice versa, whatever it was. But when you walk and live with God, all of that sense of heaviness, that drama, that heaviness of spirit just is lifted. I've often said it's like you're anesthetized. You know, throughout my life I've had two biblical statements that I've always had in my years as a performer. They used to be tacked on my dressing room mirror. And the first one was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And what that boiled down to, in my understanding at the time as a very young person, was that if I put God first, if I acknowledge God in every way, that God would guide and direct my steps in life, and that the needs of the world would be taken care of. I wouldn't have to worry about anything if I put God first. And I have lived that way my entire life. And the second biblical phrase that I always had on my dressing room mirror was, all things work together for good for those that are the called according to the purposes of God. Well, I knew I had been called since I was 5 years old to help people make that divine connection. That was told to me when I was very, very young. Between 5 and 6. I knew very clearly that I was here to help people make that connection with God. And so I knew that all things would be worked together for good in my life. So if you put God first, if you put your spiritual life first, if you put loving first, if you put authenticity, being your authentic, true self, whatever that is at the moment that you understand it to be, and live true to that, uncompromisingly to the best of your ability, then all things that will work together for good in your life, everything, everything follows from that. And when you put God first, we don't always know what God is or what it is that we are to put first when we talk about God. So that's why we can use the word truth, or being your authentic self. You know, not living a life of deceit, and especially not being deceitful to yourself. Have the courage to look at yourself, realizing that what you see with your body's eyes is not your real self, but is a reflection into time and space of the attitudes about yourself that you carry. So keep upgrading your attitude about who and what you are. Take God's word for it. Take the word of one of the enlightened masters and hang your hat on that. Take the words of Jesus in the Course in Miracles or in the Bible and hang your hat on that. Define yourself in those terms until you awaken beyond all terms and know that you are the one self that has taken all of these many forms for the purpose of awakening as love in each one. So I hope this has been helpful for you. It's another look, this wondrous adventure, this wondrous revelation that we're having together. as we return our minds to wholeness and holiness. And let's go out chanting on I Hear. Take a deep breath. On I Hear. God bless each one of you, and may the peace of God be in your mind and in your heart and flow through every cell of your being. At a time.